Welcome to this week's edition of the Baseball America College Podcast. I'm Teddy Cahill. Here this week on the podcast, we're going to be joined by Oklahoma State coach Josh Holliday. The Cowboys coming off of another season in which they made regionals last year. A little bit disappointing down the end, down the stretch of the season, as they had a chance to win the Big 12 title and ultimately were nipped by Texas for that. But the Cowboys still got to the DeLand Regional, where they went to the regional final against Stetson. Overall, another very solid year for the Cowboys. And this next season looks like it can be a pretty exciting one for Oklahoma State as well. They lose some pieces from last year, guys like Carson Teal and Matt Kroon, but as we're going to get into here with Josh Holliday, there are some exciting pieces coming back, especially on the pitching side. Where Jensen Elliott, who was a freshman All-American in 2016 but has battled some injuries stuff since then, he is now healthy. He's coming off of a nice summer in the Cape, and to have him back at the front of the rotation, I think, is going to be pretty key for Oklahoma State. You know, having that ace in your rotation, that'll help anyone, obviously, and it should help Oklahoma State this spring as they look to get back to regionals for another year and compete again for another Big 12 title. So exciting times at Oklahoma State, also because this is the last season they will play at Allie P. Reynolds Stadium, their home for the last 39 years. They're building a new stadium. It is scheduled to open in 2020. And from the renderings, from the designs that we've seen that have come out so far, it looks like it should be a beautiful ballpark, and one that will really help Oklahoma State as they compete in the Big 12 and more nationally. It's the kind of place maybe that you can sell to recruits when they come in. Got to have something special these days. There's so many great ballparks all over the place, and the Big 12 is no exception there. And so I'll be excited to see what it looks like when it's done there in Stillwater. But Allie P. Reynolds has been a great home for this program over the last 40 years almost, and so in Stillwater they'll be looking to send it out, with another exceptional season in its final year. So exciting times at Oklahoma State as the program continues to grow under Josh Holliday. So let's get to Josh and see what he has to say about the Cowboys, both in 2019 and looking forward. Today on the Baseball America College Podcast, we welcome in Oklahoma State coach Josh Holliday. Coach, thank you for joining us today.
You got it, Teddy, no problem.
Well, it's been, you guys finished up fall ball a few weeks ago, and what do you feel like you learned about the team this fall?
Oh, I think we had a good fall. I think when you look at the fact that starting today, in dead week is the first day of the semester that we won't be able to interact or train with the kids. You look back and it was a very aggressive fall. We worked hard on the days that our calendar allowed for it. And, from the time the kids arrived in August until here we are early December, we had a good plan for them. They took to it well. They worked hard. We've made some nice gains in the post-fall ball segment, since we came off the field in early November. And now really the key is just going to be for the kids to do a great job in this upcoming 6 weeks, getting ready for the second semester, taking care of their bodies, making sure they show back up on campus second semester in shape. But, I think we had the unique opportunity to travel and play at Vanderbilt, towards the end of our fall segment, and probably got more real-time feedback than any fall that we've ever had playing such a quality opponent. So saw some real good things out of our team. I think we've got a chance to pitch the ball really good with a good deep pitching staff. We still got some things on the offensive side and on the diamond in terms of how we're going to line it up defensively. But I think the pieces are there. Now it's just a matter of kind of getting guys into into game form, so to speak. And I think that happens, you know, naturally as you move into the second semester.
You mentioned there that you were able to play Vanderbilt this fall, taking advantage of the new NCAA rule, letting teams play a couple games during the fall. And it was a unique thing, I think. I don't know that anyone else in the country played a series. You went to Nashville for a couple days, and of course that's a place where you were an assistant coach before. But how did that come about between you and Tim Corbin setting that up?
Well, Coach Corbin's he's a great friend. He's the person in coaching that, in my journey, has been the most influential person to me. And we've stayed very, very close over the years and share ideas and talk quite often. And that's something I really cherish. And when the rule came out, allowing us to two games in the fall, and there was some freedom to play those games either on the road or at a neutral site, he said, "Hey, what would you think about, maybe meeting halfway and doing like a training camp setup like they do in the NFL, and we go against each other and we help each other out by challenging each other's squads, and then we, as coaches can talk about what we saw." And from there we went ahead and said, "Well, rather than meeting halfway, why don't we just do it in Nashville, where we know there's going to be great facilities and turf. One of the things you wouldn't want to do is travel and then not get the games in." So the fact that they had a beautiful turf facility and the fact that we were both on fall break worked out perfectly, and it allowed us to jump on a couple of buses and head to Nashville. And, from there we just tried to come up with, the best format to grow our teams and put emphasis on the process of how to play the game right. And, we saw some great arms. I think Vanderbilt's a really, really good baseball team. They got some excellent players, and it was a great challenge for us. We were, our kids immediately felt the challenge and saw some guys that are awfully good. So just kind of happened through discussion, and, I think there's a lot of different ways teams attack the fall. That was just the right way for us to do it, and I'm glad we did.
Yeah, that was really interesting, and like you said, some great competition for the team. So now that you've gone through the fall, were there any standouts for you that maybe took a step forward that you weren't expecting this fall?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. I guess I've always viewed the fall as a time where you want to encourage your players to compete, but not be afraid to make adjustments. And sometimes when you're suggesting adjustments or you're working on your game, the immediate results don't always show. I thought we had the guys work really hard at the game and on the pitching side to get Jensen Elliott healthy now. Really haven't had him in the one hole since his freshman year when he pitched on Sundays for us and won 10 games. And moving into his sophomore year, as he became our ace, when he had to have Tommy John surgery. So that was a huge hit to lose him for both his sophomore and junior year. He's back home. I think that gives us a guy we can build around every weekend who loves to pitch, pitches at a very high level, and can go, hook up with someone else's Friday night starter every time and give us a really good chance to win. So, from there, a kid named Logan Gregg, first-year player out of Connor State College, 6'7", right-hander. I thought he probably had, of the newcomers, he probably had the fall that you would, really take note of. He threw the ball beautifully, developed a slider, and at the time that we shut him down in early November, I felt awfully good about Logan heading into the spring as a starting pitcher. And then probably right alongside that, a guy that, last year, had he not gotten hurt, was pitching in rotation as a true freshman, and that's Mitchell Stone. And I think Mitchell, very much like Logan, had a great fall in the sense that he was working on adjustments, adding his slider, fastball, command, and velocity really started to jump. And the way he threw at the end of the fall, you got yourself a legitimate 6'10" left-handed starting pitcher that I think is really starting to explode onto the scene. So probably the thing you take away is the health of Jensen, the emergence of a couple of guys that weren't in the rotation last year, and then really just the continued development of all the rest of the guys on that staff. We have a chance to make a good rotation. We have a chance to pitch out of the bullpen with quality depth. And I think we have a chance to pitch out of the bullpen late in games with good stuff, in the setup closer spot. So that for me was probably, the biggest takeaway from the fall would be the emergence of a guy like Logan Gregg and Mitchell Stone on the pitching side. And just the health and depth of the kids that have been there before that I think are going to be that much better this year.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be good to see Jensen Elliott back. I mean, that was a guy that I know a lot of people were able to see when you made the World Series a few years ago, and it's exciting to have him healthy. And I'm sure Rob Walton, your pitching coach, is excited to have those guys back healthy and so he can work with them some more.
Well, Jensen pitched some awfully good baseball games as a freshman. I mean, he was pitching 6, 7, 8 innings every Sunday, and just was showing the signs that, hey, this is a guy that you're going to be able to write his name in every Friday for the next 2 years. And to not have him the last two seasons, man, that was a blow. I mean, you take anybody's projected ace out of their pitching for 2 years, and it's tough. But, in doing that, the work ethic and appreciation for pitching that Jensen has developed while being on the side has made him a different guy. He is as motivated and focused as any kid you'll see. And he's become a tremendous leader for our team. And our other pitchers see the way now that he goes about his business. So I think in many ways, he's ready to take on an even bigger role than before. And I like the staff. I think on the pitching side of this thing, we're going to put together a very, very quality pitch plan each week. With the challenging weekends that we play and the good midweek baseball in this part of the country, that's necessary. And I think we'll be able to do that.
Last season, you guys were in the mix for the Big 12 title right up until the final day, and ultimately Texas was the one that claimed it, not you. Did that leave the players hungry this fall?
I don't know. I think definitely the ones that were here, definitely remember that. We have a lot of newcomers, so I don't know if they're quite as aware. You talk about certain things like that with your group when you talk about the importance of off-season conditioning and strength and being able to finish the season strong. The season could come down to the very last day, which, as you said, it did a year ago. I think that when you look back on last season for our team, at least as a coach, of the final 19 games we played last year, 16 were on the road. And that was a grind for our kids. That was just the way the schedule set up and the way it played out down the stretch. We just played a lot of games on the road. There was kind of that one elusive game that was the difference in winning the Big 12 and not winning it. I think maybe late in the year, a little fatigue set in. And add to the fact that we played a big-time Texas Tech team the last week, and I thought they were as good as any team we saw all last year. Just didn't quite work out for us, but I think what you take from that more than anything is how important endurance, off-season conditioning, resiliency. You've got to be able to play your best baseball late in the year if you want to win a championship. And we've talked about that with the team, but that's such an important thing to do, and we've made it a point of emphasis. So I think the kids that were here last year left it all on the field for us. I got no doubt about that. And I think, scheduling-wise in the future, you just realize that playing that much on the road at the end of the year can kind of take its toll. And so we've just got to be one game better, so to speak, in that regard, but also be at our best at the end of the year.
One of the highlights last season would have been sweeping Bedlam for you guys. And that's such a fun series to watch from the outside with you in Oklahoma. What's that series like from the inside?
Well, it's different. I mean, it's one of those weekends for college baseball where all eyes in the state shift to what you're doing, and that's a lot of fun. And I think that the unique way that we play it with one game on Friday night in either Oklahoma City or Tulsa, and then the subsequent other two games the following 2 days at the other venue, moves the games around the state and allows our fans to enjoy the series in Tulsa and Oklahoma City, where, you know, there's great fan support and fan bases in both those cities. We play in AA, AAA stadiums, so you've got obviously big venues and really good attendance. And it's just a great experience for our players. I mean, put them, you know, on display and say, fellas, this is a chance to go out and compete in front of your state against a great opponent and see what you're made of. And our kids rose to the occasion last year. They played exceptionally well for really all four of the Bedlam games. We played a midweek game early in the year that we won, and then the three conference games we played very well in. So it's a unique series. In my opinion, it's one of the better rivalry series across the country. There's certainly several matchups that, you know, are great, but I think it's definitely one of the, you know, one of the best ones I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've been a part of some of the some fun ones as well during your career. As we look forward to 2019 now, this is the last season that you guys are going to be in Allie P. Reynolds before the new ballpark opens in 2020. And where are you at with the construction of the new ballpark, and what are you excited about in terms of getting that stadium?
Well, the construction of the ballpark, Teddy, is moving along awfully good. The some of the images and videos that will come out here in the next couple of days, I think will give folks a great look at how much progress has already been made. They're close to being done on the structural steel part of the project, which has gone up in the last 2 months and certainly been a lot of fun to watch. I mean, to see a stadium built right before your eyes from the ground up has been really awesome. The facility is going to be a game changer. I mean, we're fortunate we're going to have an elite facility that's going to have its own special characteristics. It's going to be something our fans are going to love. It's obviously going to be a great place to play baseball, and it's going to be, you know, for us, the best place in the world to train players and prepare a team to play, which is what the purpose of design was. So we're excited about it, that for sure, and we should be, because it's been an unbelievable gift by Cecil Obrecht, who gave us the money for this stadium project, along with several other very generous supporters. That being said, the current season that we have in front of us, which is a very important season, is right now, and that's here at Allie P. So, you know, you just kind of, you're excited about both, to be honest. I mean, you know, this season we're getting ready to play is very important to go out of this ballpark in style and to celebrate the tradition and history that's made this such a great venue is important to us. But at the same time, we're excited about the future, and those things can definitely coexist for sure.
You grew up in Stillwater. You played at Oklahoma State. I'm sure you have a lot of memories about Allie P. What are your fondest moments from that stadium?
Well, I guess the moments that I spent so much of my childhood here. Virtually every day I got out of school, I would come to practice, and the batting cages used to be down the right field line. I would stand in the batting cages and hit off a tee while the team practiced, and I would try to imitate the players. And you know, that was something that I loved doing. It was just kind of my playground, and watching those players the way they did it. I learned to switch hit because of Robin Ventura. I always saw him swing the bat left-handed and thought he had a prettier swing than all the right-handed hitters, so I wanted to hit like him. You know, I just remember the impact the stadium and the players had on me as a little kid, and just to be able to walk in the front gates and walk around the place like he owned it, you know, as a bat boy or a coach's kid, was kind of a fun way to grow up. All the wiffle ball games that we used to play up on the hill, shagging home runs behind the fence, you know, picking up the bats, cutting the grass, cleaning out the gutters, painting the walls. I mean, it was an endless, you know, it was an endless experience. This is just our home, you know, and it'll always be. I don't think that ever changes, because the memories of this and what you learn from it, it isn't like those things ever go away. So, but this was just an amazing place to grow up. But it was more amazing because of the coaches and players that filled up the space. And, you know, this is a great ballpark, and a ballpark that there have been some historic moments in, but at the same time, you know, as I've told people, the progress we've made and the opportunity to have our new facility is because of Allie P. Reynolds Stadium and the players and coaches that made Cowboy baseball important. And we're going to take with us all that tremendous tradition and history as we transition into a new home.
That's amazing. And you, I mean, having lived in Stillwater for so much of your life, I mean, what makes Stillwater and Oklahoma State such a special place?
Well, Stillwater's special because of the people that live here and the way they treat each other. It's a great community. Folks have time for one another. They're caring. They love their university. It's a great place for your children to go to school and form relationships and grow into an image of what they want to become in life. I always say this, can't say how much I appreciate my father staying in one place while he coached here all those years so that me and my brother could have the same set of friends and go to the same schools and develop as people, and allowed us to excel in school and develop as athletes and friends. And so I think it's a wonderful place to raise your children, which was a huge consideration for my wife and I, why we wanted to get back here. And then as a university, I mean, I think the thing that people don't understand about Oklahoma State is the level of excellence that we've achieved in sport is astounding. When you look at the national championships won here, this is the birthplace of wrestling. Our wrestling heritage is as deep as any in the United States. We have probably the premier men's golf program in the nation. And in the last 25 years, the investment in football and baseball and basketball and all the other sports and tennis has just been incredible. And when you know, I hope you'll come see the new ballpark next year. When you do, to show you our other facilities and the way they treat our athletes is simply first class. And so we're chasing excellence here. We have an athletic director that is committed to everything that's right about college sports, mainly the kids. And, you know, I'm awfully proud of that. I think we're very fortunate to work at a place and in a community that embraces chasing excellence. And that's what makes Oklahoma State special.
Absolutely. I'll be looking forward to seeing the new ballpark once you get that open. And I really appreciate you taking the time to join us here on the Baseball America College podcast today, Josh.
Okay, Teddy. Well, anytime you want me on, man, just give me a shout.
Thank you again to Oklahoma State coach Josh Holliday for joining me here on the Baseball America College podcast. Like we said, it's an exciting time at Oklahoma State, you know, both between the on-field play and what you're looking at in terms of the, you know, the growth of the program and the new stadium. Stillwater has been a great place for Oklahoma State baseball, and you know, I'm sure it'll continue to be that way as long as Josh Holliday is there and into the future beyond that as well. But you know, Josh has just done a great job with that program since he returned to his alma mater, you know, getting them back to the College World Series in 2016, and you know, they've been pretty much at the top couple spots in the Big 12 every year of his tenure there in Stillwater. So the Cowboys this year do have some pieces to replace, but like he said, with the pitching they have, I think they should be able to stack up pretty well with the premier teams in that league. And that league is always so competitive when you look at schools like Texas and Texas Tech and TCU and Baylor. You know, this year it looks like they can be a pretty tough team. And Oklahoma, you know, on and on, that conference has done a great job over the last several years of, you know, really putting together a strong depth of quality teams. And, you know, I'm sure this year will be no different, but Oklahoma State looks like it should be able to be right in the heart of that mix again. So thank you again to Josh Holliday for coming on to talk about that. And, you know, we'll be looking forward to seeing what the Cowboys have coming this season. And the season is coming quickly. We're now into December, and before you know it, it will be February 15th and opening day. But until then, you know, make sure to keep listening to the Baseball America College podcast. We'll continue our weekly episodes with our great guests from around the country. You know, so make sure that you're subscribed on whatever podcast listening platform is your favorite. And while you're there, make sure if you can rate us and review us. You know, give us that 5-star or drop us a review. Say what you like, what you don't like. You can also do that on Twitter, where I am at Ted Cahill. And make sure that you also check out all of the wonderful content over at baseballamerica.com. This is prospect ranking season here at Baseball America. We are rolling out the top 10 prospects for every big league team as we build out the prospect handbook, which you can pre-order at shop.baseballamerica.com. So yes, it's December, but baseball never stops here at Baseball America. And you know, between the magazine, the website, podcast stream, you can always have plenty of baseball with you to take you through the winter. So make sure you check all of that out, and we'll be back here next week with a new edition of the Baseball America podcast, and that'll feature Army coach Jim Foster. So hopefully that'll be another great interview. The Knights are coming off of a regional run themselves, so exciting times there at Army, and we'll get into that next week. Until then, I've been Teddy Cahill, and thank you for listening.